Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Cafe Esoterica Radio. This is your hostess, Sean Margaret Cohen, and I'm back with my new podcast all about healing the heart called The Shape of My Heart. I want to explore the subject of unresolved emotions like fear, heartbreak, abandonment, childhood wounds, grief, and loss, and any other subject that's lost healthy love. And I want to share my techniques, which I've used over many decades with myself, as well as my clients and students, to heal these issues once and for all. So pull up a cozy chair as the autumn leaves fall and the winter winds whip, and settle in. Why not pour yourself a nice cappuccino or herbal tea or perhaps some old wine and listen to stories taken from my own life's experiences as well as my many, many, many clients and students and your calls. We'd love to have your calls about heartbreak and how to heal it. I'm taking you deep within the heart of the matter every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, and worldwide. Just find your time zone and dive in. You can share your stories of love, heartbreak, and loss too, and victory over adversity in our chat room as we go live on blogtalkradio.com, and also follow us on Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, and Spotify. And email the show, please do. We'd love to have your emails on The Shape of My Heart by Sean M. Cohen at gmail.com. Call in the show, please. We'd love to have your calls on area code 516-387-1492. And we have our own private Facebook group. So if you want to do all the techniques and follow along with us, please go to Facebook and just put in the search, The Shape of My Heart, and we'd love to have you there. Let's get healed. Welcome to my new heartfelt podcast. I'm so pleased to be back and have you with me, called The Shape of My Heart. How's the shape of your heart? Let's find out together, shall we?
Hello, everyone. Hello. It's me, Sean Cohen, your hostess with the mostest. Welcome back. It's been I had quite a long break, actually. I was going to do a show, sort of finish up this podcast, the whole theme of emotional healing before Christmas. But actually, you know, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. So I just couldn't anyway. But it's okay. Here we are again, and we're going to pick up where we left off. I'm doing the show on Blog Talk Radio, so if you want to just listen, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll find me there, okay? And I'm using two computers, so if you see me look on the YouTube, if you see me look over, I'm looking at my other computer, okay? Because the Blog Talk Radio screen is there. Every time I combine them on one computer, we have sound problems. So if we have sound problems, then it's not good. You know, we don't want that. And I keep trying to get these things organized, but it's not easy. Somehow, I don't know, other people can do it. I need a sound engineer. If you're a sound engineer and you're out there and you want to do some work for me, in exchange for a reading or astrology chart, I'd be thrilled. You know, I really need some help with my sound technique. Now, I didn't even bother to do what I normally do, which is put it on YouTube as well. I mean, maybe we'll get the chance to do that. I'd like to do that, actually. Maybe I'll do that right now before we begin. But anyway, if you're here and you want to say hi, go to the chat boxes on YouTube or Blog Talk Radio. I've just opened the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have a little longer show just to catch up. and also a little revision of what's happening in our sort of podcast of emotional healing. You know, it takes a lifetime, maybe it takes many lifetimes to learn how to be emotionally intelligent. Maybe it takes thousands of lifetimes to learn how to be emotionally intelligent. And I would like to offer that for you tonight. I would like to say to you that tonight you're going to learn how to be emotionally intelligent. It's just, it's not simple. It's never a simple process. Anything to do with the heart is never a simple process, never. But, you know, what does work, what will work is education. Education is a great way to learn how to heal your heart, how to be in the world of healthy emotional relationships. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. I'm just playing with my daughter bought me a new phone for Christmas, which was so lovely. Thank God, because I needed one desperately. And I'm from the generation before there was the internet and all this business. And it is difficult to kind of figure out how to use it. I know it sounds terrible because everyone can use it, but I'm still learning. But anyway, I digress. Let's go. I don't think I'll be able to get that up too. Let's see if I can. Give me 1 second and then we'll begin. If you want to call in the show, please do. You can speak to me on area code 5. I mean, the call-in number is different than what I put because we were on hiatus. You can call in. Sorry. It's 001. If you're calling from the UK or outside the United States, you need to call the code to the USA, and then it's area code 516-387-1492. So let me say that again. If you're in the if you're in America, and we have listeners all over the world, so you know I'm not leaving people out. I love our worldwide audience. But you can call in, you have to dial the code to the United States, 001, I think it is. And then it's 516 area code 387-1492. Because I made the show a little longer tonight, usually it's an hour, but I'm going to go for an hour and a half, okay? So if you want to call in, that's great. And then we can discuss some of the things we've already shared and learned on the past 8 shows, which I would love to give my audience a chance to do that. And I meant to do that, and we haven't had that chance. So, you know, it would just be wonderful, really wonderful, to be able to do that. So here we are. I'm going live on Instagram, I think. Tap for photo, hold for video. Live. Live. Let's see. Sorry, I'm busy. I'm preoccupied trying to do this. Okay, that's the other way around. We want to live. There I am. Okay, let's go live. Let's see who's on Instagram tonight or today, wherever you are. I can't hold it the whole time. Okay, my darlings, I should have set this up before, and I didn't, so I'm gonna forget about it. Okay, sorry, Instagram. You'll have to watch us on YouTube or Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to us. So let's begin the show. I want to talk a little bit about some of my books, which are, you know, very much available to you if you want to buy them. These would have made great Christmas presents, but they can make presents. This is left over from Cafe Esoterica Radio when I did my show for 3 years. It's an absolutely beautiful book. It has all the ingredients for an oracle. So what you do, I'll just lower my screen to show you. You just think of a question, you hold this in your hand, and you open to any page, and I give you an answer. And so in this metaphysical moment, I see the hero, the victim, the person, you know, it just tells you all that was the hero's journey. It's all based on different guests I had over the 3-year course of my show, Cafe Esoterica Radio, but it's a beautiful book. The pictures are stunning. And I want to say a big shout out and hello to my amore mio, who is in Napoli, Amadeo, Tiamo Amadeo, and I just want to say hello to him. Ciao, ciao, and thank you for listening. And sto bene, and I will talk to you later. Dopo. Now, that's a big shout out to my dear love Amadeo. These are other books that I have if you're interested, and they are Tarot, Metaphysics 1 and 2. And you see the archangels on the top here. You have Gabriel, here you have Michael. So if you're interested in studying with me, please get in touch, you know, at cafeesoterica@gmail.com. Or you might like to try The Shape of My Heart by Sean M. Cohen at gmail.com. Those are our information. Those are our emails. And please do get in touch. You can also book a reading with me. I'm always available for astrology, tarot. You know, I'm a past life regressionist, but this is a thing I do from my home. It's very difficult to do online, but we're all in lockdown, London. So that service just isn't available right now. Look, with just a little spirit thing fly by. We have these a lot in my, we have a lot of paranormal activity that goes on in my home. I don't know. It's a very interesting place to live. And you see it on the screen when I do the broadcasts. You see little things flying around me all the time. It's very interesting to watch. Okay, so I would say come on over to YouTube. If you can't find me on YouTube, just put in the search Cafe Esoterica Radio and just look for the live broadcast, and you'll see me there. All right, so. I just want to talk about emotional intelligence tonight. What is emotional intelligence? Well, emotional intelligence has to do with understanding our emotions to the point where I would say we master them. When we're young, we're very immature. We don't understand our emotions. We flip from feelings, you know, left, right, and center. We don't really know what love is. We think we know. We might say something like, oh, I love her, or I love him, but it's really maybe just attraction. So emotional intelligence is the maturity to understand the difference. And emotional intelligence is like this, you know, if you keep meeting the same person in different faces, then you're stuck somewhere in your emotional growth. And many of my clients, and myself included, we all have to learn these lessons, have gone through this idea where you meet someone and you think to yourself, oh, that's a great experience and I can't wait to get involved, you know. And what happens is you realize after the hurt and the pain, oh my God, they're just like the last one, or they're just like the one I have before him, or why did it end up being the same? Because your emotional intelligence is not progressing. So how do you become emotionally intelligent? Right? This is what we're going to learn tonight. If you have any questions about anything I'm talking about and sharing, please don't forget to call in or email, because this show is for you. There are so many people in the world right now in lockdown, and it is miserable. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to sit in their house 24 hours a day. And it does affect people mentally as well. And if you have relationships going on where you're with someone and they're driving you crazy, this is the show to come to. And learn about it. Learn about your relationships. What are they for anyway? They're not just for love or satisfying, you know, a sexual need. They're for your maturity as a soul. So, how many of you have witnessed the absolute falling apart of the world as we know it under the guise of COVID-19? I'd say everyone on the planet. The amount of lies being spun are insane. And who in their right mind ever would believe them all? No one. No one on the planet is believing every single thing that's said by government officials, by the CDC, by WHO, the World Health Organization. The lies are so bad that it's almost, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, really. So you have to know and be able to decipher what is truth and what is lies. What are lies? This information, to be emotionally intelligent, is a way you can use it in every area of your life, not just your love life, but, you know, it works pretty good there too. So this will save your life literally, because what choices people make right now, whether to get a vaccine or not, I've always been anti-vaccine. I've had many, many guests on my show from Cafe Esoterica. One in particular, if you want to research the information on vaccines, go to the show with Risha Leone, and you will see. I've had naturopaths on, medical doctors too, who were very anti-vaccine and would never, ever vaccinate. And if you look into what's in them, you'll know why. Now they have vaccines that they rush to get everyone vaccinated on the planet. It's very obvious that vaccines don't work to most natural practitioners. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his son, Bobby Kennedy, is absolutely doing the research that nobody will do, because Big Pharma seems to own everything, you know, and Bill Gates. And so I urge my listeners, as a metaphysician, as an ex-nurse, someone who's been involved in healthcare and mind, body, spirit for all my life, please, before you jump into any vaccine, do the research. Don't put something in your system that could cause so much harm, you'll regret every day of your life that you took it, or you'll die from it. You know, there's really, really a lot of terrible things already coming back from people taking these vaccines. So I urge you to find out the truth. Think for yourself. That's what my shows have always been about. So let's go back to emotional intelligence, because that's how you do it. No emotionally intelligent person would take everything at face value. You have to learn and look at how something is. Is it right for you? Maybe it's right for your neighbor, but it's not right for you. You know, that's emotional intelligence. So let's go back. I'm going to read a few things and bring in some information to help you. Okay, so here we have. If we grow up in dysfunctional families, as most do, most people in the Western world, maybe in the Eastern world too, grow up in dysfunctional families. Now, if you're not sure what dysfunctional families are, go to my show and look it up, right? I think it was the show before we took a break. So, you know, if you squabble or bicker with members of your family, doesn't mean it's dysfunctional, okay? Dysfunctional families, literally, you know, people are drug addicts, alcoholics, you know, liars, narcissists, you know, just a cesspool of horrible stuff going on in a family. And that family means that you will get, grow up and become another dysfunctional adult. And if you grow up to become a dysfunctional adult, how the hell are you supposed to have healthy relationships? I mean, it's just, you can't do it. So if we grow up in a dysfunctional family, as most of us do, we have very little emotional intelligence, because the very word dysfunction describes how our brains assimilate emotions. We may have seen our alcoholic father go from sane to raging angry for no apparent reason, or our controlling mother tell us to do one thing one day and yet scream, you know, like a crazy person at us for doing that very thing the next day. That's dysfunctional. That's crazy. That's insane making. Okay? How can we grow up and understand our emotions from the start if we had no compass or guide to know what is right and what is wrong to feel? Shame is a terrible thing. And a lot of parents shame their children into behaving. So they will, you know, shame them if they catch them masturbating, for instance. Or if they tell a lie, they'll shame them. Or if they you know, oh, you stole little Tommy's, you know, you stole little Tommy's, you know, toy. How dare you? What's wrong with you? You know, all this heavy vocal abuse, shaming, you know. Shame is a terrible, terrible thing for a child to feel. No child should feel shame. No child. A lot of the alcoholics and drug addicts suffer severe shaming in their childhood, believe it or not. When we do the research and we look at this, we realize that, you know, you can't destroy a child's natural curiosity with shame. But many do. Religion does this really well, too. You know, how dare you even think outside a box of religion, you know? And so the child who is a soul, has come into a life, who doesn't understand what do you mean? I lived, you know, 1,000 lives before, and I never, you know, I'm just curious. I'm just trying to see, can I do this? So, you know, we don't really have it right with parenting children. We don't. And I've said this many times on the show and also on Cafe Esoterica Radio, that parenting children is hard. It's really hard. Okay, I get it. I was a single parent. I know. But parenting them with unconditional love and learning about the processes of their growth and the stepping stones that each child, you know, sort of reaches. And I'm not just talking about when they learn to talk and when they learn to walk. I'm talking about emotional ones, right? So when children are around lies, or they see one thing but are told to do another, or worse, gaslighting. They the parents gaslight the children. You know, oh, Santa Claus, yeah, he exists. You know, or, I mean, you can tell a child that Santa Claus exists. Of course you can. But there comes a time when you tell them the truth, you know. So you can do certain things. I said this before on another show, you know, sometimes the mothers, where fathers are not involved with the children, mothers will make up stories about the father, like, oh, he's, you know, he's the leader of a foreign country or some nonsense. And the child grows up thinking, oh, my father's so important that he doesn't have time for me. You know, so when they grow up and they find out the truth is the exact opposite. My father didn't give a crap about me, and I wasn't important at all. So what kind of relationships do you think they're going to have? You know, it's not going to be supportive or loving or healthy, is it? So how do we get emotional intelligence, right? First of all, emotions, all of them, are really important to our well-being. Let me just go there as well. If we don't feel, then we can't heal. That's number one. So our feelings are a beautiful story within our soul's process on every incarnation. You know, they say in heaven that everything is brighter and more beautiful and more pure, and there's no decay. Your emotions in heaven are more profound. You feel things more. You smell, you hear, you taste, you touch. And it's very profound, deep. And you laugh harder. And you can still cry if you want to, if something moves you in heaven. So you have all your emotions. Here on earth, we're told when we're babies, don't cry. Men are told, don't feel. Don't you dare cry. You look like a sissy, you know. They're shamed into not feeling. And the same is true for some girls. You know, you're a big girl now. Don't cry. Or women shouldn't get angry. Or here's the best one. I love this one. If you're spiritual, you shouldn't get angry, which is just nonsense. When you have the palette, the beautiful palette of your emotions at hand, and you know how to use them, you have a great, great tool. And not only is it a tool, but it allows us to feel life, to enjoy life, to profoundly connect with other people, to love, even to hate. You know, if you hate violence, if you hate injustice, you know, you don't have to hate a person. But let's say you don't like these things and you see them again and again and again, it might move you to do something about them. But imagine if you had no connection to your emotions, you know, and you were just dead inside. That would be a horrible, horrible place to be. And this is where psychopaths live. This is where sociopaths live. And many, 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 many narcissists live there. They have no connection to their inner self. In fact, the inner self is a big hole inside. And they fill it up with false images of themselves, false ideas of themselves. So a narcissist, you know, may think that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, he's the rock star of the century, or he's the wealthiest or the best, you know, whatever their issues are in their insecurity about themselves, because deep, deep inside there's tremendous insecurity. These people got stuck at about 7 years old emotionally, and they got stuck through trauma usually. Sometimes they get stuck because the parents were so putting them on a pedestal that they never allowed them to be accountable for their actions. So little Johnny and little Mary are playing, and Johnny whacks Mary in the head, and the mother of Johnny is so, you know, enmeshed in her son, enmeshed emotionally, like he can do no wrong. So the other mother is screaming, you know, why is your son doing this? And what's wrong with your son? And she's like, well, it's clearly your daughter's fault. It's clearly something she did. That's gaslighting, number one, right? And number two, the mother will not accuse the son, well, you did this, now apologize. So people in these circumstances grow up with no emotional core. It's really shocking. I mean, not once, but if it's done many, many, many times to the child. So they have no idea who they are. They don't know if they're good or bad. They don't know if they're, and no child is bad. You know, we all have, no child is born bad. They're never, you know, bad. That word shouldn't never be used. But they can go through a process of believing that they're bad. And if they believe that they're bad, like, why didn't I feel bad about punching that person? Or why didn't I feel bad about stealing the teacher's purse? Or why don't I feel bad about doing things that other people supposedly feel bad about? Then you've got a problem, right? So we need to understand that we must start at the beginning. We have to go back to our childhood. We have to look at things that really, what made us the people we are today? How is it that we became who we became, and why? What is it that we did or didn't do or didn't grow up into to have this beautiful balance of emotional maturity and emotional intelligence? So let me go back to this, my notes here, and it says, emotions, all of them, are part of our key makeup as a human being and as a soul. Love is the highest emotion, but without an emotional intelligence, how can we recognize the right love? Or is it just someone wanting to have sex with us under the disguise of love? This is for all my single people out there. These are the questions I hear many times as people come to me for tarot readings, astrology charts, and so on, seeking advice for love. Is he the one? And so on. I say, learn to be emotionally intelligent, and you will know yourself what is real, what is fake, what is truth, and recognize when someone is lying. How you learn this is through education and psychotherapy, the key words, education and psychotherapy. A great book And I had this book and I looked for it. I must have lent it out and I don't know where it is. But I know Daniel Goleman's books. He's got many books on this, but the key one, and he brought in this term, emotional intelligence, by Daniel Goleman. So please go to Amazon or anywhere you can get books. The libraries are closed, but if they're open, you might find it there. Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. And you can also find, this is another thing that I found for my show tonight, and it's amazing because it begins February the 10th. You have a course, a 10-week course, which is done through Daniel Goleman's work by his practitioners, trained by him. This is really exciting. And it's called, I'll leave the links in both chat rooms. Okay, I'll do that right now so you have them. But Emotional Intelligent Practitioner by going to, I'll say it out loud, HTTP, I'll put it in first here, HTTP, okay, you know, the usual stuff, / twice, semicolon, twice, and then it's SIY dot MBEID dot com. So if you want to, these are, and again, the name of the book is Daniel Goleman with a G, G-O-L-E-M-A-N. If you want to check that out, Emotional Intelligence, sorry, it clicks when I write, so Emotional Intelligence. You know, we all need emotional intelligence, not just some. We all need it. It should be taught in school. I always felt it should be taught in school, you know, because children don't just grow up knowing this. You have to learn. Souls learn slowly or they learn fast, but either way, you have to learn. And if you don't learn, you make so many mistakes in your emotional life that you could ruin literally your life. You know, your life is precious. Why shouldn't you have a good emotionally balanced life? And also, it's important to know that it's not just going to fall out of the sky. You know, we're here to learn as souls. We're here to grow and develop. And that's the whole reason for incarnation on any planet, but on Earth for sure. Earth is one of the oldest learning grounds of the soul. And there, it's in Blog Talk Radio, just put it in. So please, you know, if you want to take a course, and it looks fabulous. I thought about taking it myself. So it begins February the 10th, and then there's another one, if you can't get on that one, February the 16th, 2021. This is just coming up in a couple weeks. Great for Valentine's Day. You know, what a great idea. You know, if you're out there in the world and you're saying to yourself, why can't I find love, or why do my relationships always go bad, or how come I'm lonely, or I'm alone, or, you know, where is my soulmate? So many people come to me for these questions. Here's the answer. Here it is. For all you people out there asking me, what can I do to make my life better? Here it is. Get emotionally intelligent. Learn how. Okay, according to Daniel Goleman, an American psychologist, the five keys of emotional intelligence are self-awareness. To thine own self be true. Know who you are. Self-regulation. Don't be running around compulsively doing things. Think about what you're doing. Is it correct for you to do it? You know, do it in moderation, you know, maybe whatever it is. Motivation is the other one. To be motivated to do better, to be motivated to make your life better, to be motivated to create a life worth living. Empathy. Empathy is a key word for the last 5 years. This word is, you know, when I was growing up, to be empathetic, you know, they didn't even know the word. They used to say things like, I mean, I always got, she's so sensitive, you're so sensitive, what's wrong with you, you're so sensitive, as if it's another shaming thing to tell a child that they're too sensitive. Ridiculous. If you are like me, an empath and very sensitive, then you have to protect yourself. You have to learn how to protect yourself. You have to learn that not everyone is your friend, even though you think that. Empaths are always naturally loving. They feel other people's feelings. They feel other people's pain. So they can't stand to be, they can't stand to witness that. They want people to heal, to be better, to feel better. And that's part of the light worker's job. You know, many, many empaths are light workers. They don't even know it, some of them. That's why I've done my show for 4 years. You know, this is our fourth year. And I write all these shows. I teach all this stuff. This is all my own doing. I don't get paid for this. This is what I want to give to my friends and family around the world, you know, to everyone that I know and all our new listeners. I had a listener get in touch with me recently. I was so really touched that she, you know, sometimes you think, is anyone out there listening? And she came back to me and said, I'm listening and I want to book a reading with you. And I just want to give her a big hello if she's listening tonight, because it's really nice to know that people are listening, and I hope good things are happening for her, right? But let's go back. So being an empath is to have a connection with someone emotionally, to feel what they're feeling. So if you feel, if you hurt someone, it will hurt you. So this is extremely important in our lives, to have compassion, empathy, and, you know, empathy begets compassion. And that's why empaths are all over the planet in droves right now, because we need desperately people who love, who care, who don't believe the bullshit that's going on out there, who it really is a call to arms right now for every light worker, every empath, every seer, every person who would love to see the earth be a place of paradise, not through just money and greediness, but through every single man, woman, child, every race, every religion, every animal, tree, plant, mineral, and insect, and fish and fowl have a happy home to live in, to be in a place of beauty and splendor, where you respect each other, where you love each other, where you see the joy in each other, and not try to hurt the other person or take from the other person. Right now we're in a very, as it's always been on Earth, this kind of, you know, the small control the main. Well, this is the fight right now. The small shall not take all of us. Never. So when you have emotional intelligence, you see through all the nonsense, really. Okay, let's move on. So, and social skills was the last one. So the five key elements: self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. Okay. So I have this lovely, I printed this out, and you can get this too. I always, if you join our Facebook group, which is still going strong, go in there, and I will leave the link after the show to where you can get this, and you can read it yourself. You can print it out. I'm going to show it on my YouTube channel. Sorry for the rustling of the paper. This is from the mindsjournal.com, and it's /signs-emotionally-intelligent-person, and the author is Helen Noronha. I hope I say that right. Noronha. And it's 14 signs you are emotionally intelligent. Now, they also have tests on here. There are tests you can take which will show you, you know, it will show you if you are in fact emotionally intelligent, and if you're not, then what to do about it, or what, where you need to sort of buck up a little bit and learn. So So, okay, so let me just put this piece of paper over here, and everything's live, folks. No dress rehearsal. So just bear with me. Okay, so let's begin. Are you an emotionally intelligent person? Emotional intelligence is one of the essential soft skills in life that's incredibly important to personal, professional success, but often goes overlooked and undiscussed. In his new book, Promote Yourself, The New Rules for Career Success, author Dan Schwabel talks about emotional intelligence and why it's so critical to thriving in life. It's probably one of the books that you can read to really learn about emotional intelligence. Okay, now, here's how to tell if you're an emotionally intelligent person. Moving on. Picture. Signs you are an emotionally intelligent person. Here we go. Number one, you're constantly striving to understand the human condition. Boy, I have to say, I spent my life trying to understand the human condition. So if you are curious about people, you're trying to understand why do people act the way they do, or why did that person do that, or why did my father say that, or why did my brother do that, or what, you know, then you're in the right place. Number two, you're inherently curious about the way other people live. Well, I just said that, really. In my years, I loved traveling. I love meeting people from all over the world. I've fallen in love with many people all over the world. Some very, very special people in Italy, for just to name one. But you know, I've worked in Israel, Cyprus, and I'm a girl from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I never thought that I would travel and live in London when I grew up. None of that. I just didn't even understand how I could get out of Pittsburgh, let alone anything else. I lived in LA for many years and studied there, and I loved it. And I still have friends in all these countries. And I'm still glad that I do. So, you know, curiosity about people is a great way to learn. If you have children, okay, forget the lockdown and the COVID. In the future, it's a great experience for your children to travel. My daughter's already traveled to many countries. She's been even more places than me. She's only 24. So, you know, learn about other people. Number three, you're self-aware about your shortcomings and strengths. So be aware of yourself. Where do you need to work on things? Where do you think you're doing pretty well? You know, and come back and analyze this. Maybe in 10 years' time, it'll be different. You know, you'll have other things that you're more interested in. You place an emphasis, number four, you place an emphasis on living in the moment rather than in the past or in the future. Now, I'm a psychic, so I'm always thinking about the future. But it's true, Zen Buddhism is built on one whole entire thought, which is now, the power of now. So if you're living in the past, or you're living in the future, you miss the now. The now is gone. So place your emphasis on living in the moment. Sometimes you have to do it moment by moment rather than in the past or in the future. Number five, you actively try to understand your moods and change them when they go bad. So some people can get very moody, very bipolar, up and down, up and down, up and down, you know, with their moods. And it's not healthy. And it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for the other person that you might be around while you're exploding or feeling very sad and depressed. I would never tell you to control your moods, but I would tell you, feel your feelings, then move on. Don't get stuck in them. When we feel our feelings, we're able to heal. When we repress them and we sit on them and we keep them sort of inside of us, then they come out in other ways. They come out in compulsive behavior. They come out in, you know, you might have just a little argument that ends up, you know, into a huge fight, you know, because really you're suppressing your other feelings. If you have feelings and you want to say things and the person you want to tell isn't available to listen, then write a letter to them. I always tell my clients this. Write a letter, write everything down you want to say, everything you ever wanted to say. And then once you feel that you've written it all out and got it out of you, go burn it. Burn it in the sink. Make sure you don't set the house on fire. But just burn it, you know, and it'll burn away those feelings. Watch it burn, you know. Another technique which I could share is thinking of what it is you want to say and then just putting it in like a big bin liner, you know, a big garbage bag, as they say in the States, and hurling it to the sun. It's the same type of thing. But basically, get it up and out of you. It may not change the relationship you have with that person. But what it might do is it might get that anxiety and that the anxiousness out of you so that you can function, that you can go and feel and be, you know, feeling good about yourself. You don't need to carry all that. Number six, you confront people as issues arise instead of letting them fester within. Now, some people find this very aggressive. They find it very maybe too assertive. And I think that's wrong. Okay, I think that's sad because we should do this. This is really one of those things that people sometimes get very hard. They get very... it's hard for them to do. And number six, you confront people as issues arise instead of letting them fester within. So let's say you had a fight with someone, an argument with someone you know. I had a story. I had something that happened to me. I'll just pull it from my own experience. I had a friend who I really loved a lot, actually, and she just turned on me. What the hell happened there? Sometimes, you know, I'm a strong woman, and sometimes weaker or younger women, weaker, I hate that word, but maybe not as educated or not as evolved or not as experienced. Now, I've helped women all my life. That's been one of my top priorities, to support and love and help women. And many, many of my female clients will tell you that, okay? This was a fellow light worker. She's also come to me for readings, right? And she just turned on me because I have a group on Facebook that she was invited to as my guest. And she got very jealous that I was the boss of this group, and which I thought was completely... It didn't even make sense. It was like, I said to her, well, what's your problem? You know, what are you projecting on me? And that's what happens. People project sometimes. They project their own crap on other people, right? But anyway, so she talked about, she left the group. She went and started her own group. Not that I cared, but, you know, there you go. And then she put this post on Facebook, which we were still friends on Facebook. We're still friends on Facebook. And she said, when I was a young girl, I was bullied in the playgrounds at school from older girls who were stronger than me. And so it's really hard for me to be assertive and stand up to people. And I thought, bingo, there's your problem. She used me as her friend to experience or experiment with trying to stand up to me, I'm on her side. So it was very hurtful thing she did to me. And, you know, I just decided to confront her about it. And I said to her, well, you know, this is your stuff. You projected all this stuff onto me because you've had this deep festering feeling of not being assertive enough or not being something enough. I don't know what it is, but, you know, this is your stuff. And, and she was like, well, I don't know, you know, not owning it, basically. You know, it's a very immature thing that she did. And the group that she created, by the way, they don't even, there's nothing in there at all. She's not posting anything. It's just, it was just a, I want to take your power. I want to be you, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to imitate that. So it's not emotionally intelligent, right? It's not an emotional intelligent behavior pattern to do something like that. It's very immature. It's very childish. And clearly stuck in a pattern of, you know, the bullies at school, you know, they won. Now it's my turn to take over and be a bully too. You know, it's nuts. It's crazy. So let's confront people for the right reasons. You know, if somebody hurts you or somebody says something you don't agree with that is not nice and you let it go, you know, festering wounds can lead to disease. So it's very good to confront them in the moment, okay? Number 7, your motivations come from within yourself, not from outside influences. If someone says to you, you should like this type of person, because this is all the rage to like this type of person, and you like this type of person because it's all the rage, everyone's doing it, but that's not really who you are, or that's not really what you are. It's phony, and it's not, you're not connecting with your real emotions. So your motivations come from within you. If you feel motivated to do God's work, do it. If you feel motivated to be, you know, an accountant or work in a bank, do it. If you feel motivated to help children, do it. But if someone tells you to do it, just to make you, you know, to try and make you into something you're not, it's not coming from a real place, and therefore it's not real. So you're really not listening to your or honoring your emotions. Okay. So these are the main sort of signs you're an emotionally intelligent person. Okay. And let's move on now, and I'll finish up the show because we're coming up. I thought we'd have some callers maybe. Let me give the number again, area code 516 in America, 387-1492. I am Sean Cohen, and I will take your calls. Do call. If you want to talk to me about any emotional issue going on in your life right now, the phone line is open, and I'd be happy to take your call. Right. There's more to this. So let me, I'm going to keep reading till we finish it all. Okay. So that was 7. Let me go to, hold on. Where's the rest of it? Here. So let's go to number, that was 7, right? And I have to go to 14, so I'm just looking. Where is it? Here we go. Okay, you're always working on personal development. So that's number 8. You're always working on personal development. What is personal development? So I'll read what he says here. You feel restless when life becomes stagnant. So when you've hit a lull, you begin to think about how to get out of it. You start considering your interests, your job, friends, relationships, and how you could do things differently to improve upon these areas. For me, emotional working on your personal development is also working on your spiritual self. Don't forget that. Working on, you know, yourself as a soul and understanding that you're here for a purpose. Finding out what that purpose is, very important. Number 9, you genuinely enjoy listening to other people and helping them with their problems. Well, yes. If you don't like listening to people, that's okay. Some people are introverts, they're not really interested. But let me read it. It says you have the ability to make other people feel calm and accepted in your presence. When they're around you, they feel like they can say anything, and you aren't going to judge them for what they've done. But instead, you'll actually listen and give constructive feedback. It's not just one way for you both. For you, though, you generally enjoy connecting with people, whether it's your friends or family or random people that you talk to, and listening to what's going on in their lives. That's such a gift. When you give that gift to people, they love you. You know, they can't help but love you. People are so busy on their phones, you know, in this day and age, it's all the focus is here, the phone. You know, they don't even look you in the eye anymore. And how can you connect with someone if you don't look them in the face, if you don't look them in the eye? You know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. So if you're here, if your focus is here the whole time, here's my phone, right? These are most people today, they're like this, da-da-da-da-da, they're constantly on their phone, right? But the truth is we connect not through the phone. We connect in person. We connect in energy-wise, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. You know, some could say that a lot of this lockdown is a heinous attempt to get us to not do that anymore. Well, you know, you can think of it as you like, but I do think that's rather heinous. You know, we must be able to listen to others. We must be able, especially our children. Can I just say that? Because if they get in trouble later on, as teenagers do, you want to make sure that they're able to come to you and tell you what's going on in their lives. And a lot of teenagers will be afraid. My mother didn't listen to me when I was young, or she was always screaming at me. So why would I go to her with a problem? She's the last person I would go to. And that's what most teenagers say. But if you raise a child with emotional intelligence, and this is where the beauty of it comes in, you know, then that child trusts you all their lives. They trust you. They know that you're not out to hurt them. You're not out to scold them or shame them or belittle them or humiliate them because they did something wrong. They are there. They trust you, and they know that you really want their everything good for them. And so here we go with number 10. Where is it? I don't know why it didn't print out properly. Hold on. Well, I have 11 here. Where's 10? 6. Okay. I'm going to 11, folks, because I can't find 10. I don't know what happened to it. I'll leave the link. You can read this yourself. You know, you can find it. I'll put it in the group. I'll put it up here, too. Again, themindsjournal.com. You can find it there, emotional intelligence. Number 11, you're somewhat of a social chameleon. You change your behavior based on who you're with. That's rather sad. So you're a will-o'-the-wisp. You don't know who you are. This doesn't mean that you aren't genuine in your personality, but that you're aware of other people's moods. You try to match their energy levels so you're on the same wavelength. That's different. Especially if you're an empath, you know, some empaths are like, become the other person, you know, and that's never good. You have to be your own person and stay within your boundaries of yourself, you know, but feeling and interacting with people, that's a whole nother story. And to enjoy that and to be able to listen and be aware of the person's mood and be aware of the nuances of what they're saying, even with body language and not just their language. For 12, you listen to your intuition and let it guide you when making tough decisions. Well, many people don't even know they have intuition. They don't know that they have the ability to use this. We have our pineal gland and our pituitary gland are linked with our ability to tune in, to send messages telepathically. That's the pineal gland, and the pituitary gland is all about the ability to psychically tune in, receive messages. Okay. So if you don't understand your gut feeling, which is also intuitive, you know, your gut feeling is your intuition. It's another way of saying it. Then it's time to start listening to it. Okay. As soon as you get the subtle hint of your intuition telling you something isn't right, you know you should listen to what your body is telling you and look a bit deeper into the situation before proceeding further. So intuition can save your life. Intuition can tell you something's wrong. Intuition can tell you something's right, too. When you meet someone new and you have that feeling, this person is right for me, you know, or you might even get a deja vu about this person, like, I know this person, but I've never met them before. How is that possible? Well, that's a soulmate connection. That's a perhaps even a twin flame connection, that you recognize this person and you recognize them, maybe not even knowing how you know them, but you know them. Okay, that's number 12. Can we find number 14? This would be wonderful if we could. 13 and 14. I don't know why it's printed out funny. I checked it, but yeah, I don't think it's here. Where is it? Let's try this. As I said, you can find all this at the Mind's Journal. .com and put in, you know, emotional intelligence, and you'll find it. Here's number 14 at last found. It says, you can read people well. Well, this one, believe it or not, I had a hard time with this. And I used to be so naive. In my little Aries lamb to the slaughter experiences of life, you know, I would believe if someone said to me, oh, I like you, you know, I would believe them. I didn't see any reason not to believe them. But, you know, then I had to learn the hard way that people can lie and people can say things just to get something from you or try. And people may have other motivations, you know. So it's very important to read people well. Now, I'm a psychic, and I've learned how to read people very well, extremely well, right? But again, even though I was born a psychic, I still had to learn how to do that. And the way that you do that, so let me just read this. You have an inherent sense about people and understand what they want or what they're thinking without them having to say anything directly about it. Through social cues and behaviors, you just get a feeling about things and know when someone is telling you something, even when they're not saying anything at all. So sometimes you can stand in a queue with someone and just know that person's a good person. You know, sorry, that's my phone going off. Are you emotionally intelligent? Find out with this quiz. So you can take a quiz. I'll just show my audience on YouTube. You can take a quiz. There it is, the line there. Take the quiz. You just click on the link, right, at themindsjournal.com. Now, let me just put in this link so you guys have it. We're almost out of time. I can't believe it. So we've already come up to the hour, and so the mind, let's do all the links here for you. So this is in YouTube, the Minds. Let me just get it again. TheMindsJournal.com. And when you get there, put in emotional intelligence. Hold on. And you'll see this this whole thing about what I was reading from. Very well written and very well described. Let me just put it here so you guys have it in the Blog Talk Radio chat. And look, put in emotional intelligence. Okay, now, I hope in my short time with you today, I really hope that I've been able to help for you to, you know, just to help you understand what is emotional intelligence? How can we become emotionally awake you know, awake, not just awake to what's going on in the world in a, you know, just looking at things and saying to ourselves, is this true? Isn't this true? You know, the world is spinning with lies right now. Huge, horrible lies. And it's our job to look and see what can we do to find the truth. You know, as they used to say, the truth is out there. But the truth is in here too. The truth is inside you. The truth lies in your heart. It lies in your guts, your intuition. And it lies in your mind, in the ability to become emotionally intelligent. And use emotional intelligence. Daniel Goldman's G-O-L-E-M-A-N, Goldman, his book revolutionized psychology. And it was a number one bestseller many, many, many times. For many years. And he has many books out. So do use him as a resource. Go get the book. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it in any good bookstore. And whatever's open these days, I don't know. I will be back next week, and next week we're going to talk about the different archetypes that men and women play. So one of the things that I found fascinating, right, when I was doing my research about this, and also I've seen this many, many times, is the femme fatale versus the womanizing macho man. You know, so you have these archetypes of how a man is supposed to be, how a woman is supposed to be. And you see them a lot in movies. Now, they've changed over the years because of Women's Lib and because basically because of equal rights, you know. So you don't get it as bad as it used to be, like in Hollywood in the 40s, in the 1940s, you know, you see that you saw these femme fatales, you know, all the film noir had it in, you know, Bogey and Bacall, you know, perfect example of these kind of, you know, femme fatale versus the macho man. And I think, you know, these archetypes play a big role in not allowing us to really love each other. So they're quite destructive, actually, and they don't tell the truth. You know, men do feel. And women don't always have to look like a baby, like a doll dressed up. You know, they don't always have to look like, you know, a highly paid prostitute to get a man. You know, it's ridiculous. So we're going to explore that next week. So do come back, same time, same place. I want to send a big kiss to my dear Amore Mio in Naples. Amadeo, who's listening to my show for the first time. I hope you liked it. And I want to send a big kiss to my daughter Autumn and her boyfriend Joe. And the rest of you out in the world, have a wonderful week. Don't believe everything you hear on the news. Don't believe everything that's said. Look within and find emotional intelligence. And I'm going to play us out with a beautiful song called My Kind of Lady by Supertramp. I love this song, and it's great. And here we go. I hope you can hear it on the YouTube video. Here we go.
Ooh, let me tell you what I want to say. You're the only one who can make me feel this way. My kind of lady, no better love could I embrace, no better heart, no other face. Can't quite compare with you.
Oh, my honey, you know I love you.
day to tell you that you are my kind of lady. I'm not the same since I met you. All of my dreams had fallen
copyright police. Okay, my lovelies, I have to go now. That's it. So I'm going to come out of Blog Talk Radio, and then I'll finish up on YouTube. So just give me a second here. Ending episode. Come back next week, everyone. And we'll see you then.